Hey folks, welcome to a special episode of Soup Boys. This week we got Manny actually in the studio with us. The studio is of course my bedroom in beautiful San Diego, California. Manny was down here on vacation with his wife from Germany, so we had the pleasure of actually doing a podcast together. It's been a really crazy week though. And so this week's podcast is kind of going to be split in two. We had a longer conversation. We had Precious Jewels over. And, you know, it was a lot of fun to get to see my brother in real life and record a podcast together. So we split this one up into two parts. And well, without further ado, I hope you enjoy this one.
Welcome to Masa Men.
There might be other tamal-related podcasts out there.
None as meaty as ours.
Yes. Welcome to a special episode of Soup Boys. Today we're talking about tamales. I'm traveling to California today. I'm here in California. I'm with Sal.
We're in the same room for the first time ever in our lives.
And Julian. Yeah, it's really weird. We were in the same nutsack, but never in the same room.
We're all crowded around a microphone, standing on top of a water cooler that I stole from that motherfucker.
You can't curse.
Oh yeah, that I stole from that goat fornicator cheese.
Yeah, forget that guy. So as we suggested, today we're talking about tamales. Tamales. So, why? Because none of us really had time to research a soup. After this episode, we might be moving on to becoming the food boys, not just the soup boys.
Or it might just be the soup boys, but we talk about other foods too, not just soup.
Yeah, because there's a lot of good food out there.
Food out there, and we like all of it.
You know, tamales, there's actually lots of tamales out there. It's nuts. You could even do one on just tamales if you wanted to.
A tamal-related podcast.
Yeah. You do a tamal-related podcast every...
I even looked up, like, because we were talking about no one knows where do tamales come from, dude. If you look up where tamales come from, it literally just says Mesoamerica,
yeah.
An ancient Aztec recipe. You know what I mean? Which makes sense, because it's really not that... It's not that far removed from a tortilla.
It's hard to make masa.
It's actually easier to make tamal masa is one step before you finish make... Oh, no. It's making tortilla masa, and then you just add one more step.
Right.
Yeah. You know what that is?
You squish it.
No.
You steam it.
You add fat to it.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's got fat.
No. Yeah. Well, yeah, unless you make it, like, vegan masa.
But it's still got fat.
Oh, it has fat. Yeah, it has vegetable fat.
It has vegetable fat.
All those chunky-ass vegetables.
Yeah, but lard is what's traditionally used in masa.
Yes.
It's literally just corn, grounded corn mixed with...
Water. That's
yeah.
it. And then before you grind the corn, you soak it in an alkaline solution, which we already talked about in like pretty heavy detail on the tortilla soup episode. Did you hear the tortilla soup episode, Jules?
Probably not. Yeah.
The alkaline boys in the building.
Yeah, we talked about how tortillas are made.
At least you're not basic.
But, yeah, I guess, but once again, I guess I'll just...
Nice acidity, so your joke.
I guess I'll go over it again one more time real quick then.
For
people
the
that don't want to listen, but that was a good episode.
For the real one.
Yeah, the tortilla soup episode was a good one, so I recommend you go back and listen to it. But, so you take some dried corn... Let me finish this explanation first. You take some dried corn, you soak it in an alkaline solution, and before the ancient Aztecs used to use firewood ashes to make an alkaline solution.
Didn't you say it was volcano ashes?
Just ashes in general. Ashes in general.
Volcano ashes make for a better story.
Mm-hmm. Ashes in general make water alkaline when you mix it in there. Then you soak the corn in there overnight. The next day it gets soft. Then you grind it in a petate or a meat grinder, you know, if you want to be modern and not take all day. And then you mix it with a little bit more water, and now you have tortilla dough. You squish that.
Masa.
Yeah, you have tortilla masa, yeah. You squish that, you flatten it, you put it on the thing, you make tortillas. The thing is a comal.
Yeah,
a comal. A comal is a flat cast iron skillet.
Para todas las despeinadas,
yeah.
Es a comal.
And for all the white people, it's a flat cast iron skillet.
Yeah. If you're a real OG, you just cook it on top of the fire.
Yep.
And then you can also take that tortilla dough and add fat to it, traditionally pork lard, or...
Manteca.
Yeah, manteca. Or if you were an Aztec, probably human fat.
Human fat.
Or cholosquinkle fat.
Or cholosquinkle fat,
oh,
which
the
that's
cholos.
Not a very fat animal.
Yeah,
that's
the cholos. Animal. Leave the cholos
those are also
out of
holy,
it.
Too. Though.
Leave the cholos out of it.
But, in our case, we use vegetable Crisco.
Yeah.
Vegetable shortening, also known as Crisco.
Keep it good for the veggies.
Yeah, and that's how you make a tamal dough. Yeah. Tamal masa.
Masa,
people
man.
Can spicing it up, like, as much as they want. Obviously, some people throw, like, spices in the dough, like... you know, just to like some, I mean, obviously like Tex-Mex Americans will kind of use a lot of cumin.
Cumin.
I mean? Oh, cumin is one of the traditional seasonings of a tamal, of the tamal masa.
Cumin is pretty prominent in Mexican cooking, though.
Cumin is very prominent in Mexican cooking, but there's also a joke in the culinary world where, like, if you don't know how to make Mexican food, you just like just
you add put a lot of cumin.
Just add a bunch of cumin.
Yeah, no, you don't want to put a lot of cumin in any Mexican dish.
Yeah, no, Mexicans just use cumin, but not like a lot. Of cumin.
Yeah, they use cumin, but yeah, they don't use cumin in everything. Yeah.
They use it a lot, but not a lot.
Right. Yeah.
It's definitely one of the important spices. Like you know, it's like.
I mean, some people like a spicy masa, and you know, people make it like a chili masa. Or,
yeah.
There's like sweet masas, you know. People recently. I mean, I've never seen it before growing up. Like, I've seen, like, the sweet tamales, like, the tamales de piña or something like that.
Sorry, because we're way louder than Jules.
Like, but lately, like, somebody requested us to make, like, some tamales de piña. And they were like, oh, but I want it with brown sugar and I want the piña infused in the masa. And it's like, they said then.
Yeah, that's the traditional pineapple.
I've never even heard that before.
That's like, the traditional pineapple tamal.
But infused in the masa, the piña?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Have you ever had pineapple tamales?
Yeah, but
and what did they look like when you cut it in half?
Just like ours. Like, when it has...
Really? Like, you open it, and it's like dough with, like, a fruit filling inside.
No, yeah. Like, ours has piña in the middle.
For infusing it, you'd, like, grind it up.
It's not
put it through a strainer, right?
No, but she was talking about, she meant make the masa with pineapples.
Yeah, she just means like, that's how I've always had a pineapple tamal. You've had a pineapple tamal. Yeah. Do you remember cutting it in half and you open it?
No, there's chunks of pineapple in it.
Mixed throughout the dough,
and
right?
And the dough is sweet.
And it's like a cake.
No.
That's what she was saying.
Yeah.
And that's the only one I've seen.
And raisins. And she said, and raisins.
Fuck raisins. Forget raisins.
I mean, I've never seen one with raisins, but I have heard of raisins.
That sounds like a travesty to me. But yeah, Mexicans do like to put raisins and stuff.
Mexicans love to put...
No cursing,
any Mexican... Sorry. Any Mexican listening to this knows they've had a fight with their grandmother about putting raisins in the stuffing.
My grandma loves raisins. I don't know why. My grandma loves raisins.
I didn't even ask you. Your grandma doesn't love raisins?
Nature's candy.
Your grandma doesn't love raisins. She just thinks they're fancy. Like, I always
No. Like, my grandma's the same. She'd always be like, she would never be like, oh,
she
like,
went through the Great Depression, dude. It's like,
she did.
No, she didn't, because her grandmas were Mexican. Mexico, yeah. Did Mexico go through?
Everyone went through the Great Depression because America went through it.
Was it that bad over there, though?
I couldn't tell you because I
wasn't the type,
there.
Like,
wait, wasn't that during the Mexican Civil War?
Like, yeah, I feel like the 20s were like a golden era for Mexico. Weren't they? Weren't the 20s like good for Mexico?
Let's find out.
And she'd be like, why do you need candy? We have raisins. There's raisins in the cabinet. And she'd have those little freaking red boxes.
The sun-kissed ones.
Oh, man. I was like, no.
Somehow they were always super old. Like, Grandma, how do you put raisins in everything?
Why do you
but
have
all the raisins here
why
in, like,
do you have
the 1940s?
Such a huge supply?
Did all, like, I feel like all Mexican women born in, like, the... What year was that grandma born? Like, the 40s?
She's...
I don't know. I had two very different...
70-something. She's almost 80.
You know, it's super strange. I had two very different grandmas. Two very different Mexican grandmas, but neither one of them made tamales. Neither one of them...
Our grandma didn't make tamales either.
Yeah, nope. Like, they didn't make tamales.
And I love that everyone always asks us, like...
Like, if our grandma's
is this your
made
mom's
it,
recipe? Is this your grandma's recipe? And I'm
like no.
Hell
this
no.
This is our masa.
My mom paid somebody else's mom to make us tamales.
As a matter of fact, your mom suggested we pay someone to make our tamales.
Yeah, actually. Our mom, I remember, and I was like, dude, I actually don't trust. I wouldn't trust some random doñas
to make
tamales,
yeah,
honestly, because
no.
They're not going to make them with my integrity.
Yeah, at all.
Because, it's our recipe. Like, it's a recipe I researched this recipe by, like, finding... I found, like, 5 or 6 different tamal recipes from, like, Spanish websites, American websites. I found a bunch of tamal recipes, and I started developing it. And then little by little, me and Julian started, like, just working out. Like, we just, you know, we just developed it even more and made the recipe that we like to use now for our tamales.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, we got a good dough.
Real quick, I'm going to make a point about the Great Depression for Mexicans. So the Great Depression of the 1930s hit Mexican immigrants especially hard. Along with the job crisis and food shortages that affected the U.S. workers, Mexicans and Mexican Americans had to face an additional threat, deportation. As unemployment swept the U.S., hostility to immigrant workers grew and the government began a program of repatriation.
That means sending people back to their country.
Repatriation. repatriating immigrants to Mexico. Immigrants were offered free train rides to Mexico, and some involuntarily.
I bet they still get... You, dude, they'll still
get over there. Get in that train.
Free train ride. You get free train rides to jail,
who
too.
Who wrote this, like, wide it up article right here? Right?
It's lock.gov for teachers. Oh, well, there, that's why.
The immigrants were given a free train ride. They got to ride on the train for free.
Shout out to
You know who else got free train rides?
So,
Jews. So the Jews got a free train ride to Auschwitz too.
Yeah. So in true American fashion, some U.S. citizens were deported simply on suspicion of being Mexican.
Wow.
All in all, hundreds of thousands of Mexican immigrants, especially farm workers, were sent out of the country during the 1930s. Many of them, the same workers who had been eagerly recruited a decade before. And the golden age of Mexico was, especially the film industry, was 1940s to 1950s.
Oh, okay.
So don't at me.
Don't have me.
Or me, because I'm the one that was saying that.
Yeah. Con cantinflas y todas las hermosas.
How do you prefer your tamales, Manny? Like, do you like a lot of masa and like a little filling? Do you like a balance?
I'm all about it. I like a balance.
So you like, or do you
to
like...
To be honest, just being keeping it real, I don't really like tamales.
Really?
I'll eat tamales, but I'm not going out looking for them.
Whoa.
You know what? Though, I mean, I don't know how many tamales you've had, because I'd like to just make it a point that I wasn't a big fan of tamales until I moved to San Diego, and then...
I like him for the culture.
Well, I feel like I want to just point out that, like, all the tamales that we ate in our childhood that our grandmother and our mom would go buy and brought back...
Or the ones in La Fila?
Yeah, those have always been bad.
Oh, okay.
I never liked those. The first time I had tamales and liked them was when I went to my friend Angel's house in high school, and his mom made tamales. And I ate one of those, and it was like, oh my God, this is the bomb ass, this is bomb, dude. This is what a tamale is supposed to be like.
This is what it should have been all my life.
And because there's different styles of tamales, because I bet you only, have you ever had a tamale that didn't have like a piece of potato and a piece of carrot in it?
No, yeah, see, that's super, super common, like that potato, carrot, olive thing in the middle, yeah.
But then there's also tamales that are just straight meat filled.
That's not common in the way much, you know. I've never had just one meatball.
I never saw straight meatballs until I moved to San Diego and people started selling them, and those were the kinds that Angel's mom made, too.
I see. Maybe that's like the TJ way, bro, because like maybe what we had before was Mexicali, you know what I mean?
Mexicali, yeah.
It's probably like the TJ way.
Yeah, because like, and then have you ever had a chicken mole tamal? Yes. That became my favorite tamale.
That's our thing.
Now I'm kind of sick of tamales again, but that's just because we started a whole business based around tamales, and I'm just sick of like corn masa now. But I know when it's good.
I've never even heard of chicken mole tamales until we started doing it. Yeah. And then there is a lady that does it around like kind of around the corner from us.
Oh yeah, yeah, not around the corner. She's a few blocks away.
Yeah,
she's far away. She's like right where we get off at the. Remember, she's right by the exit when
and
we
I'm
get
sure
off.
I'm sure she's
on the
got
field.
Her own clientele. You're not stealing anything.
Oh no, she's good. She's like 3 miles. She's like a good mile and a half away. From
But she got a chicken mole tamal just like us. We only have 4 flavors. Like, we have 4 flavors and we've done a couple specialty
flavors. We have 5 flavors, technically. We just have 1 flavor that we haven't been doing
anymore. I was going to say, I consider that like a specialty flavor just because we don't really make it all the time. I was talking about the squash one is one that's
That was not discontinued. With that, so that makes
sense. Yeah, people love this. People like it.
The only tamal that I'm discontinuing so far is
that disgusting
strawberry chocolate one.
It never worked out.
Well, I'm not discontinuing it. It's just still in development.
The only time I've had a strawberry tamal was in a Mexican market during Christmas time, and they were trying to sell it with like champurrado and stuff.
I think it's just because
it sucked.
We had like very 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 little time.
Yeah,
and he just kind of improvised.
But again, like I'm not super into tamales either. You know what I mean? Like. Mm-hmm. I like tamales, but I don't look for them.
Can you be excited about this for me, please?
I'm super excited.
Be excited about tamales. Tamales are awesome.
I thought you wanted my reaction. Also, like, I'm a little bit nauseous. This is Pedialyte.
Pedialyte for adults. Yeah. Electrolyte.
Yeah.
Tamales are super awesome, dude. Like,
sorry, here you go.
And then it's funny. The other day, actually, whatever, dude. Like we make. Our food is Hispanic, okay? Yeah, it's Mexican, but our food is just Hispanic. And, you know, people shouldn't give me crap about it, but, like...
Well, tamales is, like, something that's made all over, South America now.
It is, but one of our, like, our most... Honestly, arguably, our most popular tamal is our pork chimichurri.
Yeah.
And the other day, this guy...
I feel like just our meat tamales in general, because sometimes the chicken mole tamales sells out
But our pork chimichurri is real good. I love the pork chimichurri.
People love that sauce.
And, yeah, they love our chimichurri. It's amazing. And then this guy was like, he was pork. He's like, what do you have in the pork? I said, pork chimichurri. He goes, chimichurri? that's not Mexican. And I was like, you know, bro?
It's 2018.
You're the first person to call me out on that.
To tell you the truth. Second of all, like, mind your own business.
Third of all, why not? Why isn't it Mexican?
It's because it's not from Mexico.
Where's it from? Where's Jimmy Cherry from?
It's from Uruguay.
Uruguay, that's Latin America.
Yeah, and I mean...
Suck it from the back.
But who cares? You know what I mean? Like, who cares? Like,
it's 2018.
Suck my tamal from the back.
It's a great tamal, and it tastes amazing, and he loved it, dude. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. He loved it. It was super good. It's my favorite one.
Mm, tight.
We even do a thing sometimes where... Because, like, if whenever we don't sell out at our tamal spot... We have another spot where we sell like a bunch of other food and like something we do to
the cherry bomb. Shout out to the cherry bomb. We can talk about the cherry bomb all day.
Cherry bomb in San Diego, Bankers Hill.
I've told Manny about the cherry bomb on other episodes.
I love the cherry bomb. It's my home away from home. But anyway, something we do there is the works. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. Where we make the tamale and I put the red sauce on it. I put the bean paste. And then the avocado sour cream. And then I also like to put cotija cheese when I have it. I'm guilty of not always having the cotija cheese on me.
Making the vegan one not vegan anymore, but it's still good.
I mean, if you're vegan, then we just don't put cotija cheese on it. And we can get some nutritional yeast, put nutritional yeast on it. Vegans love nutritional yeast, and it tastes kind of like cotija cheese or Parmesan.
Really?
Yes. Which, if you go into like a Mexican home, that like you'll notice that they'll use Parmesan cheese. As a replacement for cotija cheese in a pinch, too. Yeah. Don't be surprised to, like, when you get some home cooking at your friends, at your Mexican friend's house, if you get a tostada and they put Parmesan cheese on top of it.
Try to pull a fast one?
Huh? I'm not pulling a fast one. It's just like, well, really, Parmesan cheese and cotija cheese are actually also made in a very similar fashion, too.
That's right. Cousins, son primos.
Yeah, yeah. They're actually, and then actually, you know, that quesadilla cheese, the panela cheese, that's made just like mozzarella cheese.
Is it?
And queso fresco. It's pretty much the same process.
Am I a weird Mexican cheese. that doesn't like queso fresco? It's
really? I love queso fresco.
You know, the same with tamales. I've had varying qualities of queso fresco, and it wasn't until I had really good queso fresco that I was like, oh, this is what.
Sorry, where we're from, all the freaking like cotija, all the Mexican stuff we're from is good. It's authentic Mexican, you know.
Yeah. Did you get queso fresco from behind the counter at like Sol Mark?
Yeah.
Then you had good queso fresco. Yeah, the kind that's creamy.
I can't like it. I don't like it. It's just not my thing. It's like maybe it's a texture thing, but it's a taste too.
How do you feel about ricotta cheese?
Ricotta's okay.
Oh wow, nice pronunciation. Better than me right there.
It's really good. I like it on pizzas, certain pizzas.
So to jump in real quick, sorry to cut you off. I was gonna talk about tamales from the internet right here. Like Julian said, tamales originated in Mesoamerica as early as 8,000 to 5,000 BC.
That's like the entire, all of South America, right?
So like the preparation of tamales is likely to have spread from indigenous culture in Mexico and Guatemala to the rest of Latin America.
What's crazy, I'm sorry, but I've even found out that Filipinos even make tamales.
Because it's Spanish.
Filipino tamales are like a whole nother thing. Oh yeah, because of the Spanish influence. So it could even go back to Europe.
Well, the Spanish came, they raped everyone, and let's take this over here too.
That's good. I'm glad.
Okay. Yeah. So the Aztecs and Mayan civilizations, as well as the Amlec and Toltec before them, used tamales as easily portable food for hunting trips and for traveling large distances, as well as supporting their armies.
Dang.
And again, because masa is sacred to the Aztecs, tamales were also considered sacred, as it's a food of the gods. Aztec, Maya, Omlecs, and Tolteca all considered themselves to be people of corn. People of corn, right here. And so tamales played a large part of their rituals and festivals. So it's easy to see how it could have traveled to, where is chimichurri from?
Uruguay.
To Uruguay. So suck it from the back. It's Latin America.
Well, I mean, Uruguay, the chimichurri, I just took the chimichurri, like, I just really like chimichurri.
So I added
the pork and I put, that was my own idea that I did the putting chimichurri in at the tamale. And you know what? Also, like a further sucker from the dick, sucker from the back. I could just call it salsa verde.
Technically,
chimichurri is a salsa verde.
We do say, and when we explain it to like the most basic, like when we don't want to like go into depth and we just kind of have a lot of customers, we just say, puerco con salsa verde, you know?
Yeah. So what is a chimichurri? Because I don't know.
So it's just...
If I see it on the menu, I'm like, oh, that's
chimichurri
good,
is like, it's a green sauce. It's mostly herbs, you know what I mean? It's mostly parsley and cilantro.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm cool giving out my recipe, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I give out my recipe.
Yeah, it's okay. It's easy to
make. As a chef, I have a philosophy where like, if you have a super secret recipe, that just means that like this is the only thing that you're good at.
Yeah,
and you can't give it away. But it's like, dude, you can. I'll tell you how to make my tamales because there's like there's a thousand other things that I make like just as good as my tamales.
Incredibly
good. Yeah, and like, and if you want to catch up to me on that, that's like, I hope you woke up early this morning.
Yeah, right. Chimichurri is just parsley, cilantro, a little bit of garlic. You throw serranos in there. Like, we like to fry up our serranos and garlic. I like to throw a jalapeno in there, like a big jalapeno in there. It would be really good. If we fry them up in whatever kind of vegetable oil, we'll fry them up. And then we'll de-stem all the herbs, all the parsley, all the cilantro. We'll blend them up.
You know, and the serrano and the serrano and the garlic is like my own addition up to it, too. A traditional chimichurri doesn't even have that fried serrano.
There you go. And then we throw that in there, and then we blend it in with a little bit of vinegar, you know, just a little bit of vinegar, and then like the moisture and the liquid coming from all the herbs and the chilies and the garlic and everything like that just makes like a good green, beautifully colored green sauce, you know, like a salsa. And we throw like our special salt in there and just herb it up and spice it up, and it's really good.
Yeah, and just that's like
essentially
make it,
that's all it is.
Dude. There's also a red chimichurri too, but yeah, it's basically it's and then like further like narrow the definition, it's an uncooked salsa. Made out of herbs,
right,
and oil and vinegar and spices. Ours doesn't even have oil in it too.
Very some chimichurris very, very have oil. Little, just because we fry the herbs.
From what we fry, but yeah. No, some chimichurris have like straight up, like you pour like a quarter cup of just straight up raw olive oil into it, you know. And then there's also a red chimichurri that's made out of red. You add a red bell pepper to it.
We've never done anything.
And
like
that's I don't. The red chimichurri is usually No, I think it's used as a sauce and a dressing too. The way we use it, maybe we should experiment with it. Actually,
and you know
it might be good.
That's something that I heard that people don't really do. Something that we do is we provide like our own salsas with our tamales.
Nice.
You know what I mean? That's something people don't really do. Like a tamal with salsa, just like
not everyone does it. But like I got that idea because I got a tamal from I remember buying some tamales. There was a lady I used to buy tamales from when I lived on Wilson Avenue.
We do make a red taquera sauce as well.
Yeah. And then she also gave you sauces with her tamales, and that's why I like her tamales too, because she had some tasty sauces, and I like her tamales too. Those were good too.
Oh, yeah.
I think if you say if you're the type of person that says you don't like tamales, you really haven't had like a good tamale.
Actually, you
like,
know what?
Not
you know
what?
I could say that.
I'm gonna give you a fucking. I'm sorry. I'm gonna give you some of the tamales that we have at the house.
Cool.
I have really good tamales at the house.
Cool. I'm down.
You haven't had ours yet?
No, I haven't had.
I have tamales.
Well, you should have one. You should just have one tomorrow.
Yeah, because we're gonna make some.
Because we're gonna make them fresh. What are you
tomorrow
doing?
I leave like at 10 to Mexico.
I know, but aren't we hanging out tomorrow?
Yes.
But yeah,
we're gonna make them in the morning.
Oh, okay.
And then I wanted to take you to Port Vida.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's what you should
like,
gotta do.
Should
yeah,
go
I was
hang
gonna
out
say
over there so you can like so you can see where we sell them.
It's pretty cool. It's actually I love shouts to Port Vida. You know, Port Vida is a really cool spot. And actually, Barrio Logan is super cool where we sell tamales in front of. Like that whole neighborhood is
no, don't go to Barrio Logan. It's lame.
No, it's not.
Don't go there, you guys. Stop moving to Barrio Logan.
Why?
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah. Don't go to Barrio Logan.
That's how much is going.
It's really dangerous, and there's a lot of Mexican people over there.
So what?
I'm just saying for all the white people listening.
Oh, Jesus.
We're trying to protect against gentrification.
Yeah. No, actually, if you want to talk about gentrification.
Listen, people like the owners of Borrida and all them are that protect people.
I was about to say, you should go to Barrio Logan because Barrio Logan is kind of protecting itself against gentrification.
It is. Barrio Logan protects itself from gentrification 100%.
Yeah. It's true.
The owners there of Borrida and the restaurant in Garrido are 100% like protecting people from like or protecting that neighborhood from gentrification.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
and then
awesome.
that whole
neighborhood,
block, like,
everybody,
yeah, the,
everybody that in that community is trying to prevent gentrification there.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. It's super
yeah,
cool.
All the businesses there are straight up
like
owners, all like Latino owned businesses.
And if they're not, there's a lot of collectives that are super
yeah.
super cool. Like
there's still like some and it used to be like yeah, there's like thriving business. It's like a
yeah.
coffee shop. We sell tamales at a fancy coffee shop that sells like coffee
sells a cup
of coffee for like $5.
Our
like,
homeboy Bernie at Beatbox, what is it? Beatbox Records,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's a cool little store right
Shout
there.
Shout out to Bernie.
Oh, yeah, one of the only white boys that owns a business on the block, too.
That guy's so cool, though.
But Bernie's dope. Oh, yeah,
yeah
no,
Bernie's so dope.
He gets the, I'm going to steal this from the Yo Is This Racist podcast, but Bernie gets the White Gold Award.
Oh, God.
White Gold Award.
That man is white gold.
Hell, yeah.
Have you ever looked up a Filipino tamal?
No, never once in my life.
Filipino tamales are so nuts. Like, they're made out of banana leaves, and they're wrapped in banana leaf. I'm sorry, their masa is
southern tamales are also made with mm-hmm. banana leaf.
Yeah,
southern,
but theirs is different. There's the way they wrap it and everything is really unique.
Have you seen what a Filipino tamale looks like?
No. And they're wild looking. They're super cool and they're filled with fish and crazy stuff. Like
sometimes they're filled with fish. Traditionally though, it's like breakfast in a tamale.
Yeah, there you go. It's like egg breakfast tamale. It's super
sausage.
Cool.
Sausage. It's kind of like sausage. Egg. And like other weird stuff and pork meat and you can see through them too. Like they're not completely encased.
Oh, look at that.
They're always like
cool, man.
Instead of like the way we make it,
they leave like an opening.
The way we make it is we take the dough and we spread it and flatten it on the leaf.
Right.
And then we fill it and then we roll the dough around it. Correct. Like a joint or a cigarette.
Right.
The way they do it is they take like a ball of dough and they put it down and they make like a pillow and then they stuff the things in there. And that's why you can still see them. And then they wrap it in like 3 banana leaves.
Yeah.
They're super wrapped too. I saw how they wrap
the process. Yeah, like, that's what I was going to say. They wrap
like
differently.
They put like
3
wrappers on each one.
It's super cool. Like a Filipino tamal. Like they're ridiculous looking. But
shout out to Filipinos. I love Filipinos. Those are Mexican cousins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're definitely everybody's cousins, bro.
Yeah. The Filipinos they are everybody's cousins. They're all our cousins.
My sensei, I took you to jiu-jitsu today. My sensei is a Filipino guy.
Oh, Phil?
Phil is half Filipino, half Cuban.
We're also half Cuban.
Yeah.
Or a quarter Cuban.
Probably like a quarter, yeah. It's pretty far back there.
No, it's not that far back there. It's just our grandma.
Well, our grandma's half.
No, our grandma. Oh, yeah. We're an eighth Cuban.
We're in octoroons. Good afternoon, my octoroon.
So we can say that?
Yeah, we're also...
What are Cuban tamales like? Do Cubans have tamales?
Do Cubans make tamales? Cuban tamales are... They take a big tobacco leaf. They put tobacco leaves inside of it. And then they put shredded tobacco in there.
Are
there
Cuban tamales?
It's actually a cigar.
It's a cigar.
I wonder if there's some Cuban tamales. That'd be pretty cool.
It's
are you looking up if Cuban tamales? Well, while you Google it, I want to talk more about Logan Heights.
There's some San Diego. We're San Diego.
And then I want to talk about the one business that does suck at Logan Heights.
Whoa.
And it's it's not who you think I'm gonna say.
Oh, it's Aldami Wellness Pharmacy.
Oh, hot take. No, it's
you can
it's the apartment building over there. There's a condo. There's some condos there that are built by man, I forgot my old boss's name, but it's my old boss that owns Tacos Perla, and he's just some rich white dude that owns a bunch of property, and he owns all these commune apartments. So I think they're called commune apartments in San Diego. They have a big red letter C.
Where is it?
With a crow on top of it. It's that apartment complex that when you're standing in front of the taco shop, Salud Tacos, shout out to Salud, and you look like straight across the street, like from... I don't know if it's across the street from Bread and Salt. Yeah, I think it's across the street from Bread and Salt. But it's like a big building and it's colorful. And there's like these big portraits on the side of it, too.
I've never seen it.
I'll point it out to you next time.
Show it to me.
I'll point it out to you next time. I just know that that's the apartment building that Greg, the old owner of Tacos Perla, owned. And that's like pretty much the only really gentrifying, like kind of condo. The white people are moving in. Like business.
And there you have it. That's the first half of the new Soup Boys, now maybe Food Boys podcast with Manny and Precious Jules and me all in the same room. We went on and talked for a little while longer. So, I mean, if you enjoyed that, hey, hopefully you tune in next week and listen to the second half. Now here's a pre-recorded thing where we did an outro. Thank you.
If you want to get a hold of me, my name is Manny Grins on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat. If you wanna follow me on Twitch, my new name is now El Stick Shift.
If you wanna follow me, hit me up on Sakasal's Instagram. I'm also at Chef Sakasal. Our Instagram is GetSoupBoys. And our Twitter is also GetSoupBoys.
If you wanna send us an email, send it to @SoupBoys. No, send it to soupboys@gmail.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, send it to anchor.fm/soupboys. What about you, Jules? Do you want people to reach you or not?
No.
Any plugs?
Good Time Girl SD.
We are there.